Thank you, April, for our special music. Choir, thank you again for the good singing. You bless our hearts every week. Congregation, thank you for honoring God and being in your place on this beautiful Sunday. Beautiful sunshine outside. I thank you for being here. You'll find a copy of my outline inside your bulletin. The title of my message this morning is Mighty Prayer. Mighty prayer. Do you know that we can pray a number of ways, and sometimes it could be a weak prayer, sometimes it can be a strong prayer? Please take your Bible, if you've not already done so, turn with me to the Old Testament book of Jeremiah chapter 33. Jeremiah chapter number 33. One of the sweetest invitations to prayer is found in the book of Jeremiah. In verse 3, God gives us a command, but God also gives us something else in that same verse. God gives us an invitation at the very same time. Now listen closely. See if you agree with me. There is not a sin in my life or yours that proper prayer would not have avoided. You agree? There is not a need in my life or yours that proper prayer cannot meet. You agree? If prayer is anything, then it is almost everything. Yet most of us, for one reason or another, we have difficulty praying. Our spiritual life, listen closely, will not rise above our prayer lives. Our spiritual lives will not rise above our prayer lives. And yet many times we pray at meals. And many times we'll pray on Sunday, maybe Sunday morning, Sunday night. But then all during the week, we find ourselves not praying. We must learn to pray. Now, in this passage of Scripture that I'm going to read, we know that Jeremiah is in trouble. I wonder, do you remember the story? Do you remember why that he's in trouble? He's in trouble for preaching the truth, plus the king has put Jeremiah in a bad place. He's put him in prison. Look with me, please. One verse. Jeremiah 33:3 says, "Call unto me, and I will answer thee and show thee great and mighty things." And those mighty things are talking about hidden things. Mighty things which thou knowest not. Now there in prison, God mercifully speaks to him and invites him to pray. I wonder, do you know that in desperate times, call for desperate actions? Did you know that? In desperate times, it calls for desperate actions. So much evil today. So much wickedness today, so much sin, so much wrong today, so much hurt. It's time that Christians wake up. It's time that Christians get on their knee and make that call. Let me tell you why. God is ready to provide you and me with powerful spiritual breakthroughs that will change your life. If you become a praying person, praying in a way that honors God, it will change your life. Not only will it change your life, more than likely it will change your family's life. And more than likely it's going to change your church's life. May we never forget the words, and we've heard this many times, God can do more in a moment, in one moment, than we can do in a lifetime. Do you agree? Some would ask, how does this happen? How does this prayer work? What's God's gateway to supernatural power? God's entry point and means to this is one word, prayer. Prayer. God commanded Jeremiah to pray. Jesus said man ought to always pray. Paul gives us a word also. Paul says pray without ceasing. Does anyone ever give you a business card without a number on it? You ever got one of those? I don't think so. There's always a number. There's a name. There's a company or something. I carried one of mine out this morning and on mine. And I want you to call me if you need me. On mine, the church number's there. The study's there, church study. The fax number, my personal cell number, my pager's on there. I want you to get a hold of me if there's a need. Has anyone ever given you one without a number on it? No. There's always numbers on there. You know there's a number. They want you to make a call. They want you to get in touch with them. Ladies and gentlemen, the great God, the mighty God has given us His private number. Did you know that? We've got His number. Jeremiah 33:3. That's it. God is saying, here's my number. And because I love you, I want you to call me anytime. Most of us, we can't pick up the phone if we wanted to and call the president. We don't have his number. Most of us couldn't call someone in Hollywood Maybe we see in a movie someone, we don't have their number. We can't call anyone that we watch on TV in the NFL or the NBA, a famous sports star, because we do not have their private number. But because God is good and because God loves us, there's not one of us, not one of us that cannot contact heaven. What a privilege. God has invited us to pray. But notice also, God has commanded us to pray. Now listen closely. So many times we take prayer so lightly. Failure to pray is a sin. Did you know that? Failure to pray is an insult to God. Failure to pray is also a very sad tragedy. If someone in your family is lost, if you've lost your job, if your world has been turned upside down, don't say that there's not anything you can do. And you say, why, preacher? Because we can pray. You can pray. I can pray. Amen? Let's bow together. Heavenly Father, thank you, God, for another beautiful Sunday, for another privilege to come back and worship you in this beautiful sanctuary. God, you've been so good to us. And Lord, we just praise you this morning and we love you. We thank you for your word and we thank you for that privilege of prayer. God, help us. We have many prayer warriors here at Union Grove and I'm thankful for those. But help us all to do a little bit better in that area. Let us see today how important prayer really is. Not only for us, but for our families, for our children and our grandchildren. I pray, God, that you'd bless the reading of your word. And ask this in Jesus' sweet, sweet name. Amen. And moms and dads, I don't want to scare you. Tony, we got a good youth group sitting here this morning. This is not all your youth group, but this is a pretty good number. If you're in the youth, raise your hand for just a moment. Moms and dads, I don't want to scare you, but someday in the future, they're going to be taking driver's training. Let me tell you a little story. The girl's name was Barbara. She was taking driver's training. She was 16 years old, and she'd been practicing in the parking lot, and her dad had been taking her, and she's doing pretty good. Every once in a while, she'd make a boo-boo and make a mistake, but this one time, the little sister went, so there was three of them in the car, and Dad was there, Barbara was there. She's going to get her license, hopefully in the near future, and her little sister was there, and she ran up on the curb. And listen to what her little sister said in the back seat, as loud as she could holler. She said, God is great, God is good, and let us thank Him for our food. And Barbara, she threw the brakes on and she stopped and she turned around and she said, what's wrong with you? And her little sister said, and I'm quoting her little sister, you're scaring me to death and that's the only prayer I know. I want to share one quote from Max Lucado. I know that many of you have read this, heard this. It's good. The highest calling of Christians is the ministry of prayer. Look at your outline. I want to give you several things. Notice, first of all, the command to pray. The command to pray. God says, call on me. It's much more than a suggestion. It's a command. We need to get that in our mind. God tells us that we should pray. Some would ask, how can we have an effective prayer life? Some would say, how can I be a prayer warrior? I want to share with you, if you'll notice, and I'll do this very quickly. Under Roman numeral number 10, I want to share with you, under Roman numeral number 1, I want to share 10 things that helps me pray, 10 lessons that I've learned about prayer. Number 1, make prayer a habit. Habits are made by starting over when you fail, day by day until you're praying. Now catch this, until you're praying in a way that honors God and in a way that is pleasing to our Heavenly Father. Make prayer a habit. Number 2, designate a time and place for your prayer. Now don't fail to pray if you're not at that time or that place, but try to have a place and a special time. Number 3, make that time and place the most optimum for you. In other words, find the time when your mind's the keenest, the sharpest, when your attention's the strongest. And for some, that might be right after you wake up. For some, that might be after your first cup of coffee. But find that best time when you can get along with God. Number 4, when you pray, take some equipment. If you pencil in the word equipment. Some people say, preacher, what in the world are you talking about? Take your Bible. Take your notebook, your journal, take your pen, your pencil, devotional material. Take it with you. It should be unthinkable for us to try to have a quiet time without a Bible and a notebook. And you say, preacher, why? Why is that so important? We should expect, now listen, God to say something. And when God says something, we should write it down. I want to share a quote with you. I'm not sure who has said this, but listen, and I'm quoting, "The weakest ink is better than the best memory." The weakest ink is better than the best memory. Number five, begin your quiet time by reading God's Word. So many people just go pray. And that's okay, but I'm going to give you a little bit better way. Don't pray and then read the Bible. Read the Bible and then pray. What God says is more important than what you say to Him. Do you agree? Read your Bible. Plus, then if you read your Bible before you pray, your prayer is going to be enlivened. Your prayer is going to be instructed. It's going to be guided when you get into the Word of God, first of all. Number six, pray all through the day. All through the day. Someone said this about D.L. Moody, the great, great preacher. They said he never made long prayers, but he was never long without prayer. End of quote. In other words, that great preacher, he would pray when he got up. He'd pray all during the day until he laid his head down on the pillow, and then he'd be praying again. He was never without prayer. Prayer to him was a way of life, and that's the way it should be for all Christian men and all Christian women. We should talk to God all through the day, amen? Not forget about Him for a moment. As you read your Bible, say, "Lord, what does this mean? Lord, explain this to me." Now, how many of you found yourself praying in a car before? One of my favorite places to pray. You know, sometimes you go to Carolina Medical Center. Zach will be with you hopefully this Friday. And, you know, going down the road, we can pray. Coming back, going to Baptist Hospital, different places. You know, it's just you and God in the car. And this has probably happened to you. It's happened to me. You're in there and you got quiet time and you're praying and you're thanking God and you're praising God and you're trying to count your blessings and tears rolling down your face. You stop at a stoplight or stop sign and somebody's looking at you like you're crazy. But that's okay. You're just having a good time with the Lord, right? You ever done that? Most of you have, I'm sure. You'll be incredibly blessed to see how many prayers God really answers. So number seven, keep a record. Keep a record. You say, keep a record of what? Keep a record of your prayer requests, but not only your prayer requests, also keep a record of your answered prayers. You'll be incredibly blessed to see how many prayers that God really does answer. Plus, it will increase your faith if you keep something called a prayer journal. Record your requests. Record your answers. Number eight. And this is so important right here. Put on the whole armor of God as you pray. And some say, why is it so important? Because prayer is a warfare. Something we should know. All the artillery will come against you when you pray. And you say, preacher, make that plain. I mean, something like this is going to happen. The dog's going to bark. The beans will burn. The baby's going to cry. You know what I'm talking about. The doorbell's going to ring. You might even get sleepy while you're praying. Put on the whole armor of God. Lawrence Shell, some of you may remember that name. He lived out in Fairway Acres. I was trying to lead him to the Lord one time. And Lawrence is 6'4", maybe 6'5", big old man, strong man. He was tears coming down his eyes. We were so close. He had told me that he was lost and that he needed Jesus. We were so close to his salvation. And the grandchildren got off the school bus and began to come in the house. Now that was a good thing that the grandchildren were home and safe, but it just broke what we'd been working on. And we had to go back another time to see Lawrence Shell saved. Number nine, pray out loud when you're in private. And notice I said when you're in private. We don't want everybody to think we're crazy all the time, right? Pray just when you're in private. You say, why? Let me tell you why. Vocalizing your prayers, that keeps your mind, my mind, from wandering. Number 10. I want to give you five things under number 10. When praying, always include these five things. It'll be a blessing to you and it honors God. Praise. Praise. Thanksgiving. Confession. Petition. Intercession. Let me tell you why. I'm going to touch on each one of them. Praise. Give God praise. Responding to His glory. Thanksgiving. Acknowledge the giver of all good things. I believe this and I know that you believe this. All good things come from above. Amen? So give him thanksgiving. Confession, admitting our failures and asking for pardon. Petition, asking God to take care of us. We've talked about this many times. We need God's blessings. We need God's protection. And then intercession, asking God to help others. There are 10 things that have helped me. I hope that it'll help you. We've talked about the command. Notice in your outline, we've talked about the command to pray. There's a second thing I want you to see. Notice Roman numeral number 2, the confidence to pray. Look again at verse 3. Did you see the promise in this verse? Did you see God's awesome promise? God says this. He says, call on me. And then notice the promise. I will answer thee. Not someone else. No, it's God. Now, either this is true or it's not. Which is it? It's true. Amen? God has said, I will answer thee. God wants you to know that He is personally going to answer your prayer. Did you know when God answers, He can answer that in at least four different ways? And under Roman numeral number two, I've got those four listed for you. And I want to share those. Number one, that prayer may be specifically delivered. No doubt all of us have asked God for things and received that answer quickly. It's came fast. It's been so factually and so real that no one ever could convince us that it just happened, that it was a coincidence. We knew that we had to look up above and just say, thank you, God. It was a God thing, right? We've all had those kind of prayers answered. And there's a second way God answers prayers. The answer may be strategically delayed. God does not always answer immediately. We know that. But that doesn't mean that He's not going to answer. And remember, God's timing is always best. It's better than your timing or my timing. There's a third answer. The answer may be significantly different. God's good. Amen? You may ask God for something and He gives you something better. Has that ever happened to you? Amen? You prayed for something and God in His goodness gives you something much better than you've ever prayed for. And then there's a fourth way. That answer may be sovereignly denied. We don't always like that, but let me explain that. Maybe you ask God and God says no. He says, I'm not going to answer that prayer. Not because maybe your heart's wrong, not maybe because you have sin in your life. Just ask something that God knew was not good for you. God knew that it and understood Him being sovereign that it wasn't good for your life. And God loves you too much to give you something that's going to hurt you or hurt your family. See if you agree with me. All of us have thanked God for answered prayers. Amen? I want to ask you a question. Have you ever thanked God for unanswered prayers? Have you ever done that? I mean, we need to. If God had answered all the prayers the way I prayed Him every time, I know I would have been in a mess, wouldn't you? God knows best all the time. Some of you have read a lot of Dr. Billy Graham's books. Let me just share one little story. Mrs. Billy Graham, and I'm quoting her, she said, I thank God for unanswered prayers. She said, if God had answered my prayer every time I asked, I would have married the wrong man, not one time, not two times, but five times before I got to Billy. How about that? End of quote. She thanks God for unanswered prayers. There's some prophets in the Bible that prayed for God to kill them. Do you remember some of those? Moses asked God to kill him. God said no. Elijah asked God to kill him. God said no. Jonah asked God to kill him. God said no. The answer may be no, but God says, call on me and I'll answer thee. We've got that promise. That's where we get that confidence to pray. Again, let me share a little more humor. I told you to be careful. Your youth's going to start driving pretty soon, right? Watch how they pray. Listen to this little girl. She was maybe 12 or 13 years old. And her prayer's going like this. Lord, I'm not going to pray for myself today. I'm not going to be selfish. I'm going to pray for others. But the end of the prayer, listen how she closed. She said, and give my mother, she was the only girl in the family. She said, and give my mother a handsome son-in-law. End of prayer. 6 or 7 year old boy was praying and his preacher saw him praying one day and he just had to ask him. He said to the little boy, do you pray every day? The little boy shook his head. No, preacher, I don't pray every day. There's some days that I don't want anything. God says, call on me and I will answer thee. Now we've talked about the command. Look at your outline. We've talked about the confidence to pray. I want you to notice one more thing with me. I want you to notice Roman numeral number 3, the conquest of prayer. Now, God has revealed Himself as a God who is able to do anything, not something, but anything He chooses and wishes to do. I want you to turn back with me in Jeremiah. I preached from Jeremiah just a couple weeks ago, Jeremiah 32. I want to call your attention to that one verse that I used. If you'll be kind and turn back to Jeremiah 32, verse 17. In verse 17, God gives us His credentials. The Bible says this, Ah, Lord God. Behold, thou hast made the heaven and the earth by thy great power and stretched out arm, and there is nothing too hard for thee. Now, we have people today that just as I preached that sermon, I alluded to the fact, and I'm doing the same thing today. We have people today that say, there's no such thing as miracles. In verse 17, God reminds us, if you'll look at that verse, of who He is. And He also reminds us that He can do whatever He wishes whenever He chooses. Now, how can anyone have a difficult with miracles if they believe in creation? I believe in creation, don't you? I believe God created everything, don't you? Don't you agree? Now, if you can get past Genesis 1:1, the very first verse in the very first book, if you can get past that, you're home free. Don't let anyone tell you that the age of miracles has passed. God is still in the miracle working business. You just keep praying those mighty prayers, not weak prayers. You keep praying those mighty prayers. If you need a miracle or if someone else needs a miracle, you just keep praying those prayers for miracles. Something you might want to jot down. I'll repeat myself. The least amount of faith is greater than the greatest amount of difficulty. The least amount of faith is greater than the greatest amount of difficulty. When God says to Jeremiah, or when God says to us, call upon me, I will show you great and mighty things. I think of something maybe we've never seen or something with our minds that we can't even begin to comprehend. Jeremiah 33 reminds me of a verse in the New Testament. If you're writing this morning, I'm going to read this verse. They'll put it on the screen. I want you to put it in your notes. Ephesians chapter number 3, verse 20. Listen, please. The Bible says, now unto Him that is able to do exceedingly abundant above all that we asked. It's talking about praying. All that we asked or even think according to the power that worketh in us. Verse 21, unto Him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen. Now God's good. Amen. Do we agree? Ladies and gentlemen, there is no prayer too hard for God to answer. There is no problem too big for God to solve. There is no person too lost for God to save. And there is no promise too difficult for our God to keep. Amen? Something else you might want to jot down in your notes. Nothing lies outside the reach of prayer except that which lies outside the will of God. Did you know that? Nothing lies outside the reach of prayer except that which lies outside the will of God. So again, it's so important that we make sure on a daily basis that we're in the middle of God's will. Question, knowing that to be true, why are many more people not praying? Why are so many people just praying at mealtime? Why are so many people never moving in the churches all across our nation when we have plenty of room at the altar? Why do so many people never pray? See if you agree with me. Our nation needs prayer. How many can remember what happened last week? Washington. You remember? Navy base. Do you remember what happened? Just days ago. Our nation needs prayer. Our churches need prayer. Satan is still splitting churches every week. Our families need prayer. Families that used to be close, many of them are not close anymore. Our marriages need prayer. Satan is still destroying families and destroying marriages. Our children and our grandchildren deserve our prayers. Do you agree? Think with me, you need to pray. If you've got a child that's never prayed the sinner's prayer, that you'll live long enough, they'll live long enough, that they'll be able to make that decision, that you'll live long enough to see them pray that sinner's prayer. If you've got a child, a teenager, you need to be praying about whom God would have them to marry. Pray ahead of time. Pray for your children. Pray for your grandchildren. We need to pray for the lost. We need to pray for the unchurched. We need to pray for each other. Do you agree? I was thinking about prayer. What a wonderful weapon it is. Have you ever thought about prayer as a weapon? I mean, God's a big God. Prayer is a big thing. Now think about how we can use prayer as a weapon. Now I thought about our missile prayer. Now listen closely. The one that we have that can be fired from any place, anytime. How about that? Don't have to have nobody to pray for you. Do you agree? Don't have to go to nobody else and say, would you pray for me? You can do that yourself. And listen, it gets better. It travels undetected. It travels at the speed of, do you know what? Thought. It hits its target every time. Did you know that? It always makes its way to heaven. Now, we know that it don't always get answered the way we want it, but it gets better. Here's the best thing. Satan, Lucifer, the old devil, has no defense against your missile, my missile of prayer. There is no anti-prayer missile. Did you know that? Think about it. In Jeremiah 33:3, God says, call unto me and I will answer thee and show thee great and mighty things. I didn't make that promise. That's not your preacher. God did, and God always, always honors His word. Aren't you glad? These are desperate days and God's people need to pray. The question is, will you? Notice some questions at the end of your outline. It says, are you praying as you should? Can you pray? Did you know that there's some Christians that really can't pray? You say, preacher, are you trying to embarrass us? No. Let me explain. There's some Christians that need to pray. They may have a lost daddy. They may have a lost spouse. They may have a lost child. But they can't pray because they've got something in their life that's not supposed to be there. They've got something in their life called sin, and they can't pray. They know and they understand that until they deal with that sin issue, it's no need to pray. They may want to pray. They may need to pray. But they can't pray at all because they know if they prayed all day long, all week long, all month long, it's not going to do any good until they get that sin taken care of. Is there some sin that hinders your prayers? And the last question, would you ask God to help you be a prayer warrior? I believe there's power in prayer. Amen? You want to see something changed? You pray. You pray. Give it to God. Let's stand together. Let's pray together.